Breadbox Media programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Well, hey everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Lisa Hendy and Friends. I am just super psyched, as always, to be back behind the microphone and just to have another great conversation. And actually, this week, the conversation is particularly meaningful. You know, we call this show Lisa Hendy and Friends, and a lot of times I'm meeting the friends that I interview for the very first time, but that's not the case with this week's guest. Our guest this week is filmmaker Aaron Dooley, and Aaron was born and raised in the suburbs of Chicago and earned a bachelor's degree from the University of Dayton and has become an award-winning screenwriter who made her directorial debut with the Christian musical film Broken and Beautiful. Erin has since founded Dash Entertainment, which was founded in 2010, and she has produced two feature films and numerous short films, comedy web series, a collaborative web series, and a feature documentary. And Erin is now a speaker, a published author, and she travels around the country with her documentary, A Way to Forgiveness, giving talks and ministering to people on the importance of how to forgive. And not only is she a guest on Lisa Hendy and Friends, but she's my real life friend too. Welcome to the show, Aaron Dooley.
Thank you. Yes. Well, I'm glad to be counted among your real life friends. An honor.
not my made up in my head friends or my pretend friends, but my real life friends. Actually, Aaron, I don't even remember exactly how we met, but I know that you're one of the first people that I met when I moved to Los Angeles. And although we don't get to see each other often enough, it's such a gift to me to know that you're just a freeway away. And I just love your creative spirit and just your heart. And so I always like to ask people as the first question on my podcast, just tell us a little bit about your story, about Aaron's story.
Well, I've always been interested in writing. I thought I'd be an author when I was younger. That's what I was more interested in. Just came from a family of avid readers. So I guess, you know, you see in your future what you see in front of you. So since I was reading books, that's what I thought. But then quickly turned to writing film once that just seemed better suited to what I wanted and the stories that I would tell. But yeah, I always grew up, I was, you know, on stage as a high schooler. So I always, you know, liked that creative thing, you know, just being in the creative world, and then realized, yep, I'm fine being behind the camera. I don't need to be up on stage anymore or anything like that. So it's always kind of been in my, you know, something that I would be doing was something creative, and have this entrepreneurial spirit and to kind of blend those two, the business and the creative, you know, doing my own thing with my own business and producing my own content for the past couple of years. So then decided to pick up and move out to LA from Chicago and try to pursue the dream and focus more on the writing and getting other people to produce my work. So,
Aaron, I think that there's so much complexity to how you got into what you're doing and where you are now with it. But it's kind of funny that I guess I want to start off first of all from the perspective of big changes that happened in your life. Let's talk first of all about Broken and Beautiful and when that film was created and what you've done with that in recent years.
Yeah, that was the first film feature that I made. I had done, I think, only one other short film before that. And I wrote this film and I went for a walk after I finished the script and was praying about what, you know, God wanted to do. And I was still, you know, I was living in the suburbs of Chicago, didn't have any connections to anybody out in LA. And just really felt that God was you know, wanted me to continue doing it and to produce it. So I did. Just basically everybody that I knew, I asked if they could help out. And so that was all the way back in 2011 when I made that film, took it around to festivals and was trying to get it, you know, wider release. And then I sort of set that aside when, you know, the rest of life happened and then I made the documentary. So that kind of went on pause for a little bit. And then I picked it back up last year and decided to release it again. And just having had the experience, which we'll talk about with A Way to Forgiveness, now that I had, you know, rented out theaters and, you know, had more connections and thought I could do something a little bit bigger, I decided that I wanted to, you know, finish what he started in my life. And I still believed in it and wanted to get that message, because it also has, you know, the idea of grace and mercy and forgiveness. That's a common theme in a lot of things that I write, which I didn't kind of notice, because it's not always the main theme or something in what I write, but there is that underlying theme in a lot of what I do. And when I picked this back up again and I realized that, so then in the spring I released it. I went and rented out theaters in 10 different cities, and it's available online on DVD. And so that's a story people in the church, it's interweaving stories, people all dealing with different struggles from infidelity to addiction and how people of faith deal with it. And I always joke that they sing about it. That's how you deal with life struggles. You break out into song. It uses contemporary Christian music that you'd hear on the radio. And I weaved the story around the song, so they fit like really kind of perfectly with what that character is going through. So that is Broken and Beautiful.
Yeah, that's an ambitious thing to involve music in it, too. And that's a whole story that you touch on kind of in the book that you wrote to accompany the film. Do you want to talk a little bit about the book and why you decided to do that? Because that's a little of an unusual thing for a filmmaker to actually write something to go with the project.
Yeah, a friend of mine, I was working at a college at the time, and we would meet for lunch, and she was a writer as well. She was a novelist. And so she encouraged me to keep a journal of all the things that were happening, because there were a lot of these sort of God moments where, you know, from one day to the next, I wasn't sure how I was going to have something happen that I needed for production. And I would just pray about it, and God would provide. And it was pretty amazing. And so I'm really glad that I did keep this journal, because to look at it all, it's pretty amazing when, you know, when you stop to look around in your life, you can see God's hand. You might not stop to look, and then you might not see it. But when you really do keep track of it, it's pretty amazing. And so I wrote the film because it was a pretty Herculean task to do. And I probably only would have ever done it the way that I did it, being my first one, because any other time I would have thought it was too big to do. Because there's 24 songs in it. There's 12 leads. You know, it's an ensemble cast. We filmed at about 20 different locations throughout Chicago. And I was a new director. And so it was a big task. And so the book is, it's called You Want Me to Do What, God? Because I did not feel equipped to do it at the time. But he did provide. And so it's just the idea of saying yes to God and knowing that he's going to provide. And it might look different than what you think, but that he will, you know, if you are going to be in line with what he's asking, then he will see it through in your life. So it's a small book. It's like a devotional. Each chapter starts with a Bible verse that sort of sets the tone for that chapter. And it goes chronologically through the journey all the way from inception through release. It's a quick read, and some people do it as a daily devotional, or you can read it straight through, but it's just, so people can look at how God might be calling them to do something, and having them grow past their comfort zone to do something big for God, or maybe even small for God, but whatever God's calling you to do, that he'll give you the tools to do it.
I think that one of the things that I'm so drawn to in you, Erin, along with the fact that you're just super fun and super awesome and cool, is is your vision for storytelling, and that it comes out of a place of very real, I think, real depth of emotion in you. And the first work that I was introduced to of yours is your beautiful documentary, A Way to Forgiveness. And I know that our listeners probably don't know anything about that project. And so I wonder if you might describe for them where that came from and what it eventually turned into for you, A Way to Forgiveness.
Yeah, it focuses on my journey across Spain on the Camino de Santiago, which is a religious pilgrimage. I had been interested in walking the Camino for many years, and it just didn't happen because you have to take at least a month to walk it. And, you know, most people's schedule don't allow that. But then I lost a job, my husband left, and we sold our home. So I found myself living back with my parents.
Suddenly,
and
you were free.
Freelancing. Yeah, so since I was my own boss, I was just freelancing in film production. I gave myself some time off to walk. And so I went, and I figured I would bring my camera just in case. I wasn't 100% sure, you know, what I would do with any footage that I took, but I just decided to interview people about forgiveness. And it was, you know, selfishly just for me to heal from the divorce. And, you know, I learned so much. I just watched this since I do go and show it to people. I just rewatched it a couple of days ago, and I still learn from the people that I met. You know, you can hear something one time and then you hear it again, the exact same thing, but you're a little bit different in your life. And so it hits you in a slightly different way. So there's a lot of wisdom from the people that I met on the Camino. So when I came home and I watched it, I thought, wow, I already went through, you know, a hurtful, painful process. But if this can help people, then I might as well turn it into something good. And so I put it together in a 45-minute documentary, and it just chronicles how somebody can forgive and heal. And I released it in 2016, and ever since I have been going to churches and talking, which was, you know, a new part of something that I can do, is to then give a talk on how to forgive. Never planned on being like a motivational speaker of sorts, but that, you know, kind of got birthed out of this experience. And it's really quite lovely because I'll meet people afterward, and because I leave very little back. You know, I don't hold much back in the film, since I wasn't certain if it was going to be anything. And it was, you know, at the very least, it was going to be a video diary for myself. So I'm very raw, and I really just lay it all out on the table. And so people in the audiences will come up to me, and they'll really share a lot of personal things and ask me for advice. And so I do take it very seriously. And it's really special to me to be able to have those moments with these people that are opening their hearts back to me, and to try to help them, or at least, you know that they're heard, and, you know, just really acknowledge where they are in their life. And some people have called from the parking lot to apologize to, like, this one person came up to me and said that he just made a phone call and apologized to somebody because he felt convicted when he was watching the film, that he realized, oh, wow, I might have really, really hurt that person, and I should apologize. So it's really humbling to be used by God in this way, and to just really, it just, all that encourages me to continue to spread the message that we're all called to forgive each other, and this world would be a lot better place if we could all do that. As hard as it is for sure very difficult to forgive, but if you can do the hard work to do it, we would have a much more beautiful world.
Yeah, Erin, I think it's that rawness that really struck me. I actually think, if I'm doing the math on this in my head right, I feel like I watched the film before I actually met you in person. And so in the film, you've gone through this tremendously heartbreaking experience, and you've I think, gone through a little bit of a pretty radical physical transformation because you have very little hair in the film.
Right.
You gave yourself a pretty good haircut before you went off to the Camino.
Yep.
And so then I remember meeting you for the first time, and you're this tall Amazonian, beautiful blonde haired, long blonde haired woman. And I'm like, wait, is this the same person? But I actually saw it when I was preparing, in a sense, for my own Camino of sorts. I walked the Notre Dame Trail a couple of years ago, and that was a 300 plus mile journey, not across Spain, but across Indiana. And I remember watching the film while I was in training for the trail. And I've always longed to go on the Camino and to make the Camino myself, but I don't know if I ever will, but I feel in a sense that I made it with you. And I love that what you talk about with respect to the fact that you didn't know if you'd actually share this. I think you made that film differently than had you gone into that walk thinking, okay, now I'm going to make a documentary. Because there was, I mean, there were so many points during my watching of A Way to Forgiveness, and since I've watched it subsequently, that I'll get just, I feel as though I'm walking with you, from both your openness, the filming style that you used, just how there's not, you know, you don't really know when that moment of forgiveness is going to come, and the buildup to it. I can really sense just how heartbroken you are, and how, to me, it's just so courageous that you would put it out there. How has it been? How have you kind of had a payoff from being so, I guess, vulnerable in showing yourself in that way? How has that blessed you in the years since then?
Yeah, It is a little bit easy, like you say, because I didn't have hair in it. So it is easy for me to watch it, easier than perhaps it would be if I looked the same, because I can sort of dissociate and I look like a character to when I watch it. I was like, I'm always like, oh, that poor lady, she went through this. I'm like, wait, you're that poor lady.
Yeah,
you went through this. So it is a little bit easier to share, you know, time and time again, because of that. And it sort of keeps me accountable to make sure that I really am, you know, I guess, practicing what I preach and really living out forgiveness and trying to be an example and a model and like help other people realize the benefit of it. Because they do, you know, they see me, if they see it at a screening event, because I do look different. And this last time I was like, wow, I look older than I do now. And it's been 3.5 years since I walked. It just holding on to that hurt and that pain and just that anger, it really aged me. And so I know it's just a nice reminder to myself to the benefits, you know, because there's so many, you know, there's spiritual benefits, there's emotional benefits, and then there really is physical benefits to forgiving and to living a lighter life and letting those things sort of roll off you. And that was something new that I noticed this last time I watched it. I saw age on my face. I mean, just being able to connect with people in this way is really just beautiful. But yeah, just had the idea of being this example of forgiveness, or not example, because I want to say like I'm putting myself on this pedestal, but just to repeat this continual reminder that, because every day you have to make a choice to forgive, just like, you know, you're married, you know, every day you choose to love your husband,
right,
and to show him love. And so it's that same thing with forgiveness, that every day, yeah, you may have had that one moment where you finally said, yes, okay, I forgive this person, but things are going to come up and you have to continue to live in that forgiveness area. So that is helpful with this film to keep being mindful of that.
Well, what you're saying about taking this out and showing it to people, I'm reminded when I hear you talk about this, about, kind of the speaking and retreat ministry that I do, and how, you know, a lot of times I'm giving, I'll take, for example, my Grace of Yes retreat. I've given that retreat countless times, and yet every time I give the retreat, it's different because of the people that I'm interacting with and what they bring into that equation. And I see that work that I've done there through the prism of those people that I'm encountering for the very first time. And it's like I see it all over again, and it continues to be refreshed and renewed in my heart, the message that I'm trying to share. And that's why I think that you're unique as a filmmaker in that you really have turned this in a sense into a ministry. So how can people, if they would want to have you come to their parish with the film, how can they get in touch with you? And what does that night look like when you bring the film and present it?
Yeah, the website is -entertainmentllc.com. So I have the contact form there, and I think every time I've presented, it's been slightly different depending on the needs of the church where I am. And that it's been a general church, event. It has been with youth that are going to be confirmed, the teenagers. I just was with young adults in their early to mid 20s. So whatever, it's appropriate for all different ages. And then I show the, so it's a 45-minute film. I give about a 25-minute talk. I do a Q&A. I do have questions. So if the church likes to break up into small groups and to discuss, I have questions so that people can really think about forgiveness in their own life and reflect on how they can forgive. So there's different ways that whatever the church, wants to do, if it's just a Lenten mission event or something where they just want to hear a talk, I can do the talk separately. I've done just the talk, and I show snippets of the film. So it really can be modeled or, packaged however the church wants it. So they can just, again, contact me through -entertainmentllc.com.
Perfect. And we'll have links to that in our show notes too. Erin, I wanted to talk to you about what it's like to live as a woman of faith out here in Los Angeles. In a way, it's like you're really living kind of that La La Land existence that we, that we encountered in the movie. And to me, you're someone who's actively using your gifts to create, to look to kind of foster new ideas, in the secular world of movie making and television production and stuff. And it's a rough, it's a rough business. And so I'm just wondering what it's like for you as a, first of all, woman, and secondly, a woman of faith, to try to make it out here. What's that like?
It's not easy. LA can be a very tough town. There was some billboard that was like, LA's full, stop moving here. it's just such a crowded town. And I was told when I first moved here, they're like, yeah, about every 6 months, you're going to need to maybe more than want to, get away for at least a long weekend. And I have found that to be true. It just, it gets to be a lot, this constant hustle, it's taking those escapes. I do go back to see family pretty much every, once a year for the holidays. And I learned very quickly being here that you need to surround yourself with, the like-minded people to stay grounded. Because I could physically feel like the weight of this city when I moved here, like the darkness of the city. There is a lot of, the dark here. But just like, St. Paul says, wherever sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. And so I have been wonderfully surprised and delighted at the depth of people who I have found in the Catholic communities that really, they are so firmly planted. And so I have made a very purposeful point to join those communities, make those friends, you included, to find those people of faith so I can stand shoulder to shoulder with them. And there are so many people in this industry that are also trying to, have work for God, and some are doing it overtly and some are just doing it, you know, wherever they are, if they're in, you know, a writer's room for a TV show that, you know, on its face is nothing to do with religion, but maybe they're making it less offensive, and for them, that's what they need to do, and that's what they're called to do. So it's interesting to also, you know, have those conversations, but really it's surrounding myself with the people who are like-minded, but also really good at their craft, because they're to call you to be better in your craft and just to constantly improve. So, yeah, because it's really important, because you can very easily get swayed in this town and do things that, you know, you might, not that they're terrible, but, you know, you just, maybe you shouldn't be doing them, or, you know, projects that maybe you don't want your name associated with. It can be easy when you're getting no's to a lot of things, if the one yes you're getting is like, oh, but this isn't really that great. So it just takes a lot of prayer and, you know, finding the right people to surround yourself with.
Yeah, I find those bright lights and interesting places too, just those people that are really special, and you wouldn't necessarily expect that they're going to be, you know, so open about what inspires them to do the work that they do. And I think that I find more often than not that people out here, you know, maybe I've just been really fortunate, but that people are well-intentioned, and that they, you know, that they're inspired in a certain way. And maybe it's not, you know, most often it's not something that's overtly religious, but they're cool people with good stories to share. And it's just really mm-hmm. fun. And sometimes I'm surprised that, you know, I wear this cross around my neck, and so I'm sort of not hiding from the fact that I'm representing a particular viewpoint. And it's often really fun to kind of have people come to you and just ask you a question about the church, or, you know, have a chance to sit and talk to somebody about their own journey and just to listen. And I'm sure you find that all mm-hmm. the time in the work that you're doing.
Yeah. When we read, if you're in the creative and you're a storyteller, then yeah, you want to get to know the people. And so, yeah. And a lot of people, they don't have somebody to listen to them, and everybody, you know, most people like to talk about themselves. So it's good if you can be that person and to be that listening ear and to, yeah, just get to know people. Cause part of why this town can be hard is everybody sort of climbing and clawing over people. And so to have that constant reminder that, you know, we shouldn't be behaving the same way. We shouldn't view people just as something to get something to that next step, that person has value just as a person, and let me get to know them as a person. And people can sniff that out so quickly if you're, so it's good to have that mindset. And I think you can find that with a lot of other believers. So just get to know the person, and then.
Aaron, what gives you,
something will come from that.
Yeah. What gives you like the hope to continue in a time when sometimes you have to deal with things not going the way that you would have hoped that they would go? What kind of propels you along and keeps you going?
Well, it's funny because I think I'm out of a little bit of a valley in my own thinking of where, you know, what's next. And I guess I'm just like this worst case scenario person, because I'm always in that, you're like, well, okay, what's the worst thing that could happen? Like, you could die, like, in any given situation. And then you're like, well, then you'd be in heaven. So it's really not that. I mean, hopefully, you know, we can't be presumptive, but so I think I just go to those extremes. I'm like, all right, well, you're not going to die. So what's the really the next worst thing? And then when you kind of back into it, you're like, all right, well, I'm okay. And just to continually remind yourself that, you know, if God called you here, he's going to figure it out. I mean, he's got it figured out. He's going to unfold it for you and lay that. And just, yeah, so that's kind of how I approach it, and just remind myself that, you know, God is going to take care of me in whatever situation. He's going to, you know, take care of it. And I want to stay here as long as God wants me to stay here. So if that's, you know, only another year, or if it's another 20 years or beyond, you know, whatever it is, I'm okay with. So I think just having that sort of service mentality has helped me too, and helps me in the in the slumps when I'm feeling a little bit like, why did I even move here?
Erin, one thing I always tell my husband is, like, if anything ever happens and I, like, fall out of the sky on an airplane or something, he needs to immediately come into my office and, like, burn all of my notebooks, because I'm a voracious journaler. But I also have, like, just about every room that I live in and my car and any place that I spend any time, I always have notebooks, because I'm like an idea person. So I have probably 50 novels that I'll never write. Yeah. Are you an idea person, and how do you capture your ideas? And then how, as one who's kind of working at your craft, how do you know when to really dig into an idea and when to let it go into the ether?
I used to be more hard copy with my notebooks, and I'd always have one in my purse, and I sometimes do, but I also like to change purses, so I like, if I forget to put the notebook, so I use my phone a lot. I have a bunch of different on that, you know, on my phone to write any ideas and things like that, and then you never know when an idea will strike, when there's a funny line of dialogue, especially like, because I've been working on some comedies. And so when I hear like a funny turn of phrase, I have finally remembered that, you know, I am not going to remember all of these things. So to really write them down when I hear them, because some of them are just gold. But discerning which ones to pursue, ideas abound, you know, if you just keep thinking of them, the more come. And there was one, I heard a story a couple weeks ago, and so I wrote it all down and I did a little bit of research, and then actually just this morning I was cleaning off my desk, because I do, if I'm home, I will handwrite things and I will just grab scraps of paper. So my desk is just littered with notes, and sometimes it gets overwhelming, and so then I'm like, all right, we gotta rein this in. So today was a little bit of a reining in day, and I found this idea and I was like, you know, I don't know that I need to be one to tell this story, because it takes a lot of your time to write a script and then to be passionate about it, to go and pitch it to people, and to, you know, if, you know, the heavens open up and somebody buys it, then you're still working on it for years. So it's a big thing that you're doing when you're going to write something and hope that it gets produced. So you do have to have that passion for it. So I think for me, just asking, am I passionate about it? And it is finding that emotional undercurrent of something, because I am kind of a deep thinker. I'm like finding those emotions. And yeah, I think most things, if you think about it, there's other people that think about something too. And so just tapping into that idea of those larger issues, like loneliness or, you know, whatever the thing is, if it's good, it's probably a little bit, you know, you can find the universality in it. And so that's what I gravitate more towards, those like stronger emotions that I can find and that resonate with me. And so then I'll write that. Those are the stories that I'll write.
That get told. I still haven't figured out the system for the shower. So when we develop that note-taking tool for the shower, that'll be a winner, I'm sure. So I do have many a note that I've taken in the middle of the night underneath the covers in my bed that I wake up the next morning and I'm like, what was I thinking when I wrote this?
Can you read them? I could never read it. I can barely read my daytime handwriting. So my nighttime, that would be hopeful.
Definitely got to have the phone for those. So I guess my last question relates to what advice you would give to someone, anybody who might be out there listening, who's had the idea for something, a creative endeavor, but hasn't been courageous enough yet to dip their toe into the water and give it a go. What kind of advice do you have for them?
It's really just doing it. The very first thing that I wrote, it was just like eating away at my brain, and it just kept consuming me, and I couldn't think of anything else. And I said, fine, I'll write it down. And then thinking that that would just, okay, I got it on paper, then I'll be done. I won't think about this anymore. But then, you know, that next idea was right there too. So it will open the floodgates. But to just do it, and to research whatever, you know, your craft is, if it's writing, then read a ton. If it's directing, then, you know, study direct, whatever, you know, learn your craft. But yeah, just doing it. The tools are so accessible now, which is kind of a double-edged sword because people have different expectations now, and you still have to cut through, you know, all of the clutter that is bombarding everybody, you know, all the messages, and you still have to get people to watch it. So it might be easier to make things. But yeah, I think just doing it. And if it resonates, it'll resonate. Like, you know, the way to forgiveness, I shot it myself on a GoPro. I joke that it's the shortest credits in film history because it is me. It is my name, and then it is the composer's name and the person that cleaned up the sound. Three people. And so it really, it's like 30 seconds of credits. But you can do it, and people can forgive, you know, it's for that. It's, yeah, yeah, it's shot on a GoPro. There's, you know, it's handheld, so it can be a little bit shaky, whatever, but it resonates. It's so emotional that it touches people. So you don't have to be this fancy filmmaker. You can just do what you can with what you can, and then you grow and you'll get more. So just start. This is the most simplest. My long-winded answer. Now just start. That is the short answer.
I like that. I like that. So if you're listening, just start. And definitely make sure that you check out Erin's website. You can kind of find a home base for her at -entertainmentllc.com. And we'll have links to the Beautiful Unbroken website, to ways for you to find out about A Way to Forgiveness and how to bring that out or to see it for yourself if you want to bring it to your parish, and all of Erin's social media links. And Erin, I want to thank you for the beautiful work that you're doing, and especially for being a friend and a storyteller. And I pray for you all the time, and I just I can't wait to see what comes next in your story. So thanks for coming on the show.
Well, yeah, I was glad to be here, and always glad to talk with you, either over coffee or over a podcast. It's always good.
Yeah. Well, God bless you and the good work, and keep it up. And I can't wait to see you in person again soon.
Yes. All right. Thank you.
Well, that, again, was our interview with Erin Dooley, and be sure to check out the show notes. Erin has so much good going on, and she's just a really bright light and a greatly creative resource, and I know you're going to enjoy getting to know her. Definitely consider bringing A Way to Forgiveness, and check out Broken and Beautiful. It's been called a Mamma Mia of Mercy and Grace, so great, great films. And that's it for this week's show. So until next week, we're always happy to get your feedback. So if you have any questions or anything that you'd like to share with me, you can always reach me on social media at Lisa Hendy, or just drop an email to lisahendy@gmail.com. All the shows air in a variety of different places, but I really would like to thank our friends at Breadbox Media for being a wonderful podcasting home for us. And if you enjoy the show and want to share it with other people, it's really great for you to share Breadbox Media, because not only will you hear Lisa Hendy and Friends, but many, many other great podcasts as well for your journey. So until next week, friends, I wish you and yours all the best. Have a great week, and God bless.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com.